Thank you.
Brother Husney.
I feel that the Lord has put a burden upon my heart. The welfare of this people, the welfare of this church. And as we stand before the Lord, as we as servants strive to deliver this message, it's our duty, our responsibility to tell it in its fullness, to tell it in its truthfulness, to seek the Lord, that we may do it under the power and the authority of His Spirit. In the Book of Mormon, page 725. Starting with the 109th verse. Come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will show unto you the greater things, the knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. Come unto me, O ye house of Israel, and it shall be made manifest unto you how great things the Father has laid up for you from the foundation of the world, and has not come unto you because of unbelief. Behold, when ye shall rend of that veil of unbelief which doth cause you to remain in your awful state of wickedness and hardness of heart and blindness of mind, then shall the great and marvelous things which have been hid up from the foundation of the world from you. Yea, when ye shall call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, then shall ye know that the Father has remembered the covenant which he has made unto your fathers, O house of Israel. And then shall my revelations which I have caused to be written by my servant John be unfolded in the eyes of all the people. Remember, when ye see these things, ye shall know that the time is at hand, but they shall be made manifest in very deed. Therefore, when ye shall receive this record, ye may know that the work of the Father has commenced upon the face of the land. Therefore, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and believe in my gospel, and be baptized in my name. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day. For he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom, prepared for him from the foundation of the world. Behold, it is I that have spoken it. Amen. So our brother stood this morning. He talked about a church. A church that he said could be dying. A church that does not have those things that God has promised. A church that, a church that was established again upon this earth some 150 years ago. At a time when the Lord, I believe, restored His gospel, restored the authority of the priesthood, restored those gifts, those blessings upon this people. At that time, I believe the gospel was here in great power and great might. But for some reason, throughout those 150 years, we've lost something. Throughout those years, we've lost some of the power, some of the authority. We've lost some of the gifts. The question in my mind is why? Why have we lost it? Why haven't we the gifts and the powers that we should have? Is it because evil has creeped into the church? Is it because we as a ministry have failed to uplift the people? It's because we as a people, as our brother this morning said, but not good representatives of this gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it because when we were baptized and repented and made a covenant with our Lord and Master that we've broken it? When we entered into those waters of baptism, whether we realized it or not, we made a covenant with Jesus Christ. A covenant that should not be broken, but cannot be broken. If it is, we'll suffer the consequences. So there's many things, I believe, has creeped into this church. Creeped in unaware. Creeped in, possibly without us knowing it. Causing us to be a people that we should not be. A sister in Michigan told us of a couple dreams she had. You know, and one was, she was standing at the back of the church. I believe I've told this before. Standing at the back of the church, and it was after services, and people were standing around talking. And she seen the devil going from one person to the next, whispering in their ear, telling them things to say. Telling them stories to spread. And I can bet that the stories were untrue. Several weeks ago, one of the brothers stood up here and he talked about gossip. He talked about this thing that has creeped in, I believe, causes us not to be a righteous people. He said, do we talk about the pastor? Do we talk about the pastor's wife? Do we talk about people in this congregation? Or do we have the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts for our brothers and our sisters? You know, if we talk, if we spread stories, if we say those things that are untrue, or even things that may be true, and spread them, we're in error. Would Jesus Christ spread a story? Would Jesus Christ say something bad about anyone? Aren't we to be like Him? Aren't we to follow in His footsteps? Are we not to pattern our lives after Him? I'd like to read a story in the Bible that I believe, on the one hand, tells us of the hardness of the heart of people, and in the same story tells of the love that Jesus Christ has for this people. On the one hand, it tells of a people that were hard in heart, that all they could see was the bad, all they could see was what was wrong. They had no love. They had no love of Jesus Christ in their hearts to see the goodness in that person. You know, we have a gospel that is love. A gospel that can dwell within us. That can cause our spirits to burn and to yearn for goodness, for truth. This spirit of love will cause us to help people, will cause us to lift people up, will cause us to say things that are good about people, not things that are bad. The Lord has laid this burden upon my heart, and I feel unworthy. And I pray for strength. But if we have the love of God in our hearts, if we have the love of God for our brothers and our sisters, the only thing that we want to do is good. The love of God can change a person. Our love for each other can cause that person that is in error to turn around. Can cause that person that is afraid to be not afraid. It says that the love of God casteth out all fear. And we spread that love of God. We can either spread it or hinder it. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the first of the chapter. Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Taught them this gospel of Jesus Christ. This is where we got the gospel from him teaching it. From him teaching it in love and power. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. Pardon me. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. I wonder what he wrote. Did he condemn them? Did he write words of love? I don't know. But the only thing on this people's mind is a chance to accuse him, a chance to condemn this woman. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He had love. He had compassion for that woman. He didn't condemn her. He didn't say she shouldn't have done it. But he told her not to do it anymore. He didn't go out about the people. He didn't turn to the people in the synagogue and tell them about this woman. He didn't say anything about her. But he lifted her up with the love that God gave him, the love that we should have in our hearts, one for another. You know, if we have strife or envy, if we have jealousy within us, we have not the love of God. If we have not the love of God, we're truly not his people. To be a peculiar people. People that are different. Not different that we condemn, but different that we love. That we lift each other up. You know, this gospel is going to be spread by this church. It could be taken away from this people, but I don't believe it will be. I believe there's enough faith. I believe there's enough righteousness within this people. God can use us. This gospel has to be spread by the love of God. It has to be spread by his power, his authority. Do you know, we can have all the power and all the authority in the world. If we don't have the love of God within our hearts, within this church, we're defeating our purpose. The book of Revelation third chapter. I believe that Jesus Christ is speaking unto this church today. I believe he's speaking unto this very people. Fifteenth verse. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Don't we have this gospel of Jesus Christ? Aren't we rich? Don't we have the goods? And have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Not the gold of the world, but that which Jesus Christ has to offer to us. That word that's tried. That gospel that's tried with fire, that is pure. that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Righteousness. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Are we blind? Can we not see? Do we have a spiritual shield over our eyes? Do our hearts lack understanding? Do we not have that desire, that hope within us? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore,
and repent.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We reached a point in our spiritual growth where we're stagnant. Has this church reached a point where we're satisfied? Has this church reached a point where we've lost our zeal, our desire? Are we satisfied with what we have, with the righteousness that is within us? I think if we are, that we're wrong. We must have a desire to do better daily. A desire to increase in God's righteousness. You know, it's very easy to say that I belong to the Church of Christ. Since I belong to the Church of Christ, that's all that's required of me. Since I belong to this Church of Christ, I'm going to make it. Therefore, it's easy to become lukewarm. You know, if we were cold or hot, the Lord might know what to do with us. Since we're lukewarm, he may not have too much to do with us. The Book of Mormon, page 187. page 186. I believe also that the Lord is speaking to us today in this passage of Scripture. Several pages of talking about the vineyard and the natural branches and the wild branches of working in the vineyard. But I believe that this last part has brought us down to this day and time. I believe it's brought us down to where this Church of Christ stands today. Verse 136, and it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant. And the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your might. He didn't say to sit here. He didn't say not to work. He didn't say to wait, and I'll come and help you. He said, go to and labor in the vineyard with your might. He didn't say, give it half an effort, or when you have time, or when you feel like it. But if we work with our might, we're giving it our full effort. We're giving it our full time. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard. For the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mights with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labored with their mights. And the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them. You know, if we go out, labor with our mights, put this gospel first in our lives, the Lord will work with us. But we have to do it first. We're the ones given the responsibility of this gospel of Jesus Christ. We're the ones that God has entrusted in this last time with these precious words. We're the ones that have been given the Great Commission to spread this gospel in all the world. Really, so far, we haven't done a very good job of it. So far, our effort has been small. So far, our effort has not brought forth much fruit. You know, we look at our church and say, it's only 150 ministers. Half of them wouldn't even care if this gospel is spread or not. The Lord and His servants, and they were few. You know, I think under the power, the authority of God, that half a dozen people could spread this gospel. But we have to have that power and that authority from God to do it. We have to be a righteous people, His righteousness. We have to be a people willing to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. Months.